The appointed gospel reading for Holy Saturday is recorded in the book of St. Matthew, the 27th chapter. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, and Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. Next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said, while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead, and the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by scaling the stone and setting a guard, by sealing the stone and setting a guard. Here endeth our reading. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So there was evening and there was the morning, now the Sabbath day. And God saw all that he had done and said, "It is very good. So lie down, O man, and rest in peace and safety. Your salvation is finished. I have done everything for you. Rest and receive the gifts that I have given to you by my Son. For the treasures of my Son, his cross, have trampled sin, death, and the devil. Your destiny as my sons and daughters are assured by my Son, the infant priest, wholly born and wholly sacrificed upon the tree. And the tomb wherein my Son lays with Joseph of Arimathea cut in the rock, that will soon be cracked open by the water and the blood of my Son, and by my glory and by my grace." And yet, with Mary and Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, it is still evening, and the sun hides its face. In darkness and grief, and yet with a lighted flicker of hope, we sit with Mary Magdalene and the other Mary at the tomb of Jesus. Perhaps we are frozen in heart and mind. What was is no more. What will be is yet still to be determined. There is not much, if anything, to say. We are silent. We wait. We listen in heart and mind to the great acts of our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the time of our forefathers. We remember the mystery of the cross and the strange words that were said upon that cruel scaffold. We wonder, we hope, that the death of God and his body is the key that will unlock this entombed creation. And yet our eyes and our hearts strain to see it, this glorious truth, the mysteries of grace, the murmuring of resurrection. In our skepticism, we may well protest, what is very good about this day, or really any day on this fallen earth of ours? All we can remember is that there were three wooden poles that pierced the earth. Two of them were fixed with rotten men, thieves and scoundrels who committed unspeakable acts. But the pole in the middle, that was fixed with a man who is also God, God in the flesh, who is life itself incarnate. And by his dying flesh, He was loosening the grip of the devil on all men. We see an instrument of death, but he who was fixed to it knows it to be the instrument of our life. God is crucifying to himself the sins of all mankind in order that he might justify all men by the blood of his Son. For all three men drip blood onto the earth, but only the God-man's blood cries out for pardon and not for vengeance, as it soaks into the soil of this rebellious creation, justifying man in the midst of his own filth and sin, and making glad his trembling and terrified heart. Yes, you and I, we squint to see it, to hear it, to believe it, to confess it, as we sit with Mary Magdalene and the other Mary and perhaps other disciples in the shadows of Jesus' tomb. But we also know the long foretold promise of the seed of the woman that was promised in a garden that is now taking root outside of the city, outside of Jerusalem. And so a new fruit is blossoming, a new testament is being poured out for the many, for all. And so now a new song murmurs upon the lips of angels and of the children of God, indeed of all creation, this night. A new garden, a new creation is coming and has come forth in the body of Jesus. And so beyond mortal eyes, the seed of the woman is fully manifested to the world, even into the depths of Sheol. As we confess in the Apostles' Creed, he descended into hell. And hell's fires rage this day at his victorious presence, as the devil and his demons have known that they have lost a war that they thought they were so close, if not they thought they had won. His cross proclaims his victory over them and all that they have sought to defile and destroy. And now it is all being restored and redeemed and resurrected. For here is the mystery of all mysteries. God loves men. The peace of this holy Sabbath day is forged in that mystery, that God loves men, that he bears no grudge, that he lays down his life for Barabbas and for thieves and for the thief and for Judas and for Peter and for Mary Magdalene and for David and Saul and for Leah and Laban and for Sarah and Abraham and Adam and Eve and all men. He laid down his life for every human being conceived in sin and born of a woman. Every man who is a master wielder of his sin for depraved ends. And this is what the devil cannot get through his serpentine head. But God loves men. Each one of them. No matter how foolish they are, or bad they are, or dumb or stupid they are, or persistent in their sin that they are. God loves men. And therefore the devil is defeated. He is overcome by a tree. He once conquered by a tree, but now he's overcome by a tree, the tree of the cross. And now he cannot hold men to their sins. For Jesus has taken men's sins upon himself on the cross. The devil cannot hold men to their sins because Christ Jesus has paid for them with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. And so there was evening and there was morning, the Sabbath day. And God saw all that he had done and said, "It is very good." For though the night of affliction and death has drawn near to us all in one way or another, we know also the morning of joy and of the promised resurrection that rumbles to life this night. And it puts fear into the hearts not only of the devil and his minions, but also of the enemies of Jesus and his cross. Remember, the chief priests and the Pharisees are terrified tonight. They cannot rest tonight. For through this night, they toss and they turn over the words of that Jesus, that imposter Messiah, who said, "After 3 days, I will rise." No, no, that cannot happen. Absolutely not. And so they go and they whine to Pilate, who's already washed his hands of Jesus and their problems. "But fine," Pilate says, "if they want to secure the tomb with as many stones as they can find and station a legion of many guards that they already have, go ahead," Pilate says. And so they do this. They did everything within their power to make sure that the words of Jesus did not come true, that they would not bear fruit, that he would not rise from the dead. But they failed to believe, like the serpent of old, that God loves men. And because God loves men, he is arisen from the dead. And therefore, nothing will stop this truth. Nothing will stop the devil. Nothing will stop him. Not the devil, not atheists, not false theologies, not false prophets, not governments, not tyrants, not war, not pandemics, not sickness, not mental illness, not abusive parents, not ungrateful children, not betrayers, not thieves, nor straying sheep. No, not anything in all of this earth and everything that is wrong with it will stop Jesus from redeeming and resurrecting this earth. He loves us to our very absolute end, even our last exhale. For no matter how tight they entomb us, as Christians, just like our Jesus, we will rise from the dead. For the head has arisen, and the members of the head will follow. The devil and the ingenuity of men will never understand or overcome the foolishness of the cross and the corpus that was fixed to it on that Good Friday. For Jesus fixed to a tree and the stone rolled away are the signs to you and all men that sin, death, and hell have been vanquished. The signs of the Sabbath place man back to the apex of creation, back to the object of God's love and desire. And that is, again, what the devil cannot get through his head, nor could he ever imagine that God loves men and therefore God loves sinners. And he welcomes them back into the paradise that he sent them out of, to eat of the tree of life and to be in eternal fellowship with him as it was in the beginning of that sacred grove. The morning miracle is simply this, that Jesus lives and the victory is won, and that he bears no grudge against Herod or Barabbas or Caiaphas or the chief priests or the Pharisees and the scribes. He loves even them. He loves all men. Thus, nothing could be more true, therefore, than that he loves you, and that nothing will stop him from loving you unto the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. That is the sweetness of this evening, with perhaps weeping giving way to the joy of the morning, of the Sabbath day, now bathed in this eternal and redeeming light. The tomb is cracked wide open. Jesus is the victor of death and grave. He is the captain of the saints and the martyrs. He is the lover of all men, and all our sin and shame has been forgiven, forgotten, and cleansed. Sin has lost its power, therefore death has lost its sting. We no longer stand in a cemetery or graveyard, frozen in heart and mind, weeping as those who have no hope, or silent without confessing a most glorious and mystical truth. For now our lips, because of our Jesus, boldly confess in the midst of death, even standing upon the sod of a cemetery where saints rest beneath our feet, and yet in the arms of Christ, I believe in the resurrection of the dead and of the life of the world to come. And there was evening and there was morning, the eighth day, the day of new creation. And God saw all that he had done, and he said, "It is very good. In my Son's death and resurrection, your Sabbath rest has come to an end. It is now the eighth day, the day of new creation. So rise up, O man, from your rest, from your slumber, whether above the earth or beneath the earth. For a far more glorious day has come and is dawning for you. Your pilgrimage through this troubled life and the shadow of death into glorious life is complete in your holy baptism. For you are the children of my light, for you are now partakers of my divine Son, who is the divine eternal light and life of all things. So graze now as my redeemed and resurrected sheep in body and soul. And in those verdant pastures where streams of living water flow, freely feed in eternal joy with all the faithful upon the tree of life, that altar that stands between earth and heaven and has declared to you your eternal existence is now and forever very good. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Now may the peace of